You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. 2020 was a devastating year. More than 300,000 people in the U.S. died due to complications from the novel coronavirus. But it was the single death of a Black man in Minneapolis that sparked nationwide protest against systemic racism and police brutality. It also sparked our Mountain West News Bureau to dig into the number of people killed in our region during interactions with law enforcement. And we found something startling. Our region has the highest rate of fatal encounters with police in the entire country. That's right, the entire country. Here's the first part in our new series with the Bureau called Elevated Risk. Mountain West News Bureau reporter Nate Hedgie will take it from here.
Last summer, parks and streets across the country filled with the sound of violins. They were played by people protesting the death of 23-year-old violinist Elijah McClain. The young Black man was walking home from a convenience store when he was stopped by the police after someone called, saying he looked, quote, sketchy. After a tussle, police placed him in a chokehold and he lost consciousness.
Give us more. Give us some more units. We're fighting them.
McClain was 5'6", weighed 140 pounds, and he was a chronic asthmatic. And when he briefly regained consciousness, police claimed he had, quote, crazy strength. Paramedics on the scene gave him the powerful sedative ketamine. He had a cardiac arrest on the way to the hospital, and he died days later. McClain was just one of more than 1,100 people killed during interactions with police in the Mountain West since 2015. That's according to our analysis of data from the website Fatal Encounters. It counts these deaths by tracking media stories online.
It's all Google alerts.
That's founder and former Nevada journalist D. Brian Burghardt. He began tracking these cases nearly a decade ago after he had one of those aha moments.
I was driving home from work Friday night and I just saw this scene of chaos. Dozens of cop cars parked haphazardly, and I just got a feeling that either a cop had killed somebody or somebody had killed a cop.
And as a newspaper editor, this sparked his curiosity. How often do police kill civilians?
And it did not take me very long to figure out that nobody really knew.
The federal government does have a homicide database, but reporting those incidents is voluntary and many law enforcement agencies don't participate. So Burghardt eventually figured the best way to track this data was to gather stories from local media outlets. He estimates he missed a few cases.
But whatever we have is twice as good as anything that was ever released by the government.
According to the Mountain West News Bureau's analysis of that data, the fatal encounter rate in our region is more than 1.5 times the national average. There are a lot of theories as to why this is, but the most common one boils down to this.
Guns.
Guns.
The gun culture that's here.
It really is as simple as guns.
That's Burghardt, along with law enforcement experts Gabriel Schwartz, Robin Engel, and Justin Nix. They all say that in places where there's a high level of household gun ownership, there's also often a high level of people killed by police. Police officers are also more likely to be victims here. Justin Nix from the University of Nebraska, Omaha, explains.
Officers from day one are trained and socialized to anticipate danger and be prepared for any interaction to potentially go sideways and present a lethal threat to their own safety.
And we own more guns here than most anywhere else in the country. And Nix posits another idea, access to trauma centers after someone's shot.
It's just a little bit farther on average to trauma care. And minutes matter. And so when you're looking at data that only capture those deaths, it might lead you to believe that officers are using deadly force at a higher rate, when maybe they're using deadly force at similar rates and it's just people are dying at a higher rate.
And then there's this.
Something like 1 in 4 people shot and killed by police displayed signs of or were known to have a mental illness.
Many states in the Mountain West rank among the worst when it comes to the prevalence of mental illness and access to care. This includes Utah, where in September, Golda Barton called 911.
So that's why we need a mental health worker. It's super important because I really, he's sick.
Barton's 13-year-old autistic son was having a crisis. She warned that he might be carrying a BB or pellet gun. She wasn't sure. She also told the operator that her father had been shot by police last year, that her son saw it happen. Now he hated cops. When the police arrived, what occurred next was recorded on their body cameras.
We need him to go to the hospital. I need him to go to the hospital. I cannot get in there on my own.
The police found her son in the backyard, and he took off running. chase ensued.
On the ground!
That's the officer shooting the boy 11 times.
Come on, Mama, love her.
Barton's son was wounded but survived. He was unarmed. Salt Lake City's mayor said in a statement soon after the shooting that she was, quote, heartbroken and frustrated by the incident. The family has filed suit against the Salt Lake City Police Department in U.S. District Court.
It's a bleak picture.
Gabriel Schwartz tracked police violence as a doctoral student at Harvard University. He says overall, the United States is a perfect storm of mental health issues, guns, inequality.
And police are much more often armed with guns and other military equipment.
He says many of the solutions posited by law enforcement, more body cameras, a more diverse police force, implicit bias training, on average, don't seem to work. Put all this together and...
it's a disaster.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
And we know that people of color are at high risk for police violence. Data on Indigenous people specifically, though, is pretty difficult to come by. Still, the numbers that we do have, they are alarming. Take Montana, for example. Indigenous people there are 60% more likely than white people to be killed by police. And that's likely an undercount. So in the second part of the Mountain West News Bureau series on policing in our region, reporter Savannah Marr, looks closely at one victim of that statistic.
Cole Stump was a Montanan through and through.
He spent a lot of time breaking horses.
He was raised on the Rocky Boys Reservation in the north central part of the state.
He loved being a cowboy. He loved horses, so that was his go-to. If he could be around a horse, he would.
I'm on a video call with family members of the 29-year-old father of five and citizen of the Chippewa Cree tribe.
He was always laughing, teasing.
And he'd play dress-up even with his girls. He wore fingernail polish and makeup.
That laughter is Tashina Duran's. In the 3 months since her brother was shot and killed by the Billings police, she's been trying to piece together what happened.
I've been in contact with the county attorney's office, the Billings PD records department, the detective from Billings PD.
But those agencies say they can't share much information while the case is under investigation.
They just stonewall. They don't ever want to release anything.
Here's what we do know. Cole Stump was staying with a friend at an apartment complex in Billings in the weeks before his death. He was working under the hood of a car in the parking area when four police officers arrived, responding to a call from one of the apartment residents reporting suspicious activity. Here's Billings Police Chief Rich St. John speaking to reporters the next day.
And when the officers attempted to detain, question, and pat him down for weapons and put him in handcuffs for safety purposes, he refused to cooperate and comply.
It's not clear why they were detaining him. Chief St. John says they were able to get him face down on the ground, but there was a struggle. He said Stump pulled out a semi-automatic handgun from his waistband and pointed it at the officers.
Officers disengaged and two fired multiple rounds, striking the man.
Duran isn't convinced.
My brother's not a very big guy. How are they not able to subdue him? You know, how do they not have the de-escalation techniques to stop this?
Harlan Baker, chairman of the Chippewa Cree tribe, is also skeptical. He wrote a letter to the Montana Attorney General saying, quote, Billings police officers appear to continually inflict injury out of anger rather than the need to protect public safety when it comes to Indigenous people. For Melanie Yazzie, that description rings true.
The purpose of this violence is to reinforce the settler order.
Yazzie is Navajo and a professor of Native American Studies at the University of New Mexico. She studies reservation border towns like Billings, and she says many of them sprung up as military and trading outposts when the United States was colonizing the West.
They were engaged in Indian wars, right? They were engaged in incredibly violent warfare against Native people.
Fast forward 150 years or so, and Yazzie says these towns are still hotbeds of resentment, hostility, and violence towards Indigenous people.
We're not supposed to be off the reservation, you know, we're supposed to be like in our place. And the moment that you stop doing that, you immediately become a threat, and then you need to be policed.
I won't sit here and tell you that officers don't get frustrated dealing with people and make bad decisions.
That's Lieutenant Brandon Woolley with the Billings Police Department.
To say that they do it specifically to a racial group, I don't believe that that's occurring.
Still, the department's own data shows Indigenous people are overrepresented in its arrests, use of force incidents, and officer-involved shootings. but Woolley says they're also more likely to be victims of crime in Billings, and that all these things are connected.
We have to talk about this substance abuse. We have to talk about the mental health issues. We have to talk about the education rates. We have to talk about the poverty. That's the social stuff, right? That when it breaks down, leads to interaction with law enforcement.
He says that social stuff is a symptom of historical trauma in tribal communities, something he says law enforcement has no control over and isn't equipped to address. It's that sentiment that's driven a movement across the U.S. to redirect funding away from police departments and into social programs. But Woolley says cutting police funding in border towns would be a mistake.
When we get to the bottom of this conversation, the Native American culture doesn't need less policing. They truly need more policing.
Angeline Cheek resents that comment.
With a statement like that, it's no wonder why our Indigenous people are being killed at such high rates.
Cheek is an Indigenous justice organizer with the ACLU of Montana and a citizen of the Fort Peck, Assiniboine, and Sioux tribes. She says we can't police our way out of this problem.
We don't need more policing. We need equitable distribution of resources and the recognition of long-standing treaty rights.
Tashina Duran is planning a march through Billings to honor her brother's life. Whatever happened between him and the police, she says his story shouldn't be swept under the rug.
It seems like being Native that they consider us disposable. So shooting one more, what's that, you know? No one cares. No one seems to care.
The Billings Police Department and the Yellowstone County Attorney are currently wrapping up their investigation into Stump's death. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Savannah Marr.
And you can listen to this entire five-part series from the Mountain West News Bureau by tuning into Morning Edition this week, or go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org and click on the Mountain West News Bureau to read those stories. Up next, the Boise Phil gets competitive. More on that coming up next.